AM 930 WEOL.
Minutes past 5 o'clock, Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL, coming at you live from the studios in downtown Elyria. And every half hour, we hear from Matt Douglas giving us the local news updates from the Orthopedic Associates newsroom. Orthopedic Associates, quality care at an affordable cost. Before we get to Al Harris, you were mentioning some of the games that will start here momentarily. Tournament baseball and softball this week.
Yeah.
Big stuff.
Officially starts tonight. I know a lot of the softball teams playing later in the week, I think on Wednesday, Thursday. But, yeah, that Division I, Lorain District, is officially underway starting as of 5 o'clock. So they're 15 minutes into it.
Good deal. Well, we go from the diamonds to the big screen, where a big-time rock star joins us, as he always does every Monday, our Hollywood guru, Al Harris. Al, how are you, my man?
Fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're great. 60s, sunny here in Cleveland. I love
it. Nice.
Yeah, we'll take this.
How about that LeBron shot, huh?
Yeah, he's not bad. He's pretty good. I think he's got a future in that game.
I hear good things about him.
Yeah, that wasn't bad. He called bank, didn't he? Bank was open. He, you know, called bank at the buzzer. That's how you won a lot of your games of 21 or 33 in the legendary gravel pit of Solon, Ohio, right? You would play gravel pit basketball in Solon. Matter of fact, you set some records down there, didn't you? You were comet of the year.
You know, just tie my leg behind my back every shot off my leg.
Al is no slouch on the court. Let me just throw that out there, but I want to talk about something I read about earlier today, and it got me really excited. You know, we talked about this in the opening segment when we teased that you were going to join us. You know, Rick Moranis, of course, has not done anything on the big screen for close to 20 years since his wife passed away. However, he is coming out of retirement for the Goldbergs. What are the details on his return?
And not only is he returning, but I think it's this Wednesday. He's basically going to play Darth Helmet again in somewhat of a dream sequence in the movie, but it's great. It's kind of weird, though, when you remember the fact that he turned down Ghostbusters, the revamped one a couple years ago, because he said he didn't want to redo something he did in the 80s for one day of work, which is what he's doing here. But, you know, any chance to see him back on the big screen is huge. He did a little thing. His first time back was a little thing last year on the SCTV reunion, but this is his, you know, I think, first network, you know, appearance in years. So it's exciting, man, especially, you know, and I'm sure there's a lot of Spaceballs listeners, and, like, what a great movie that was, and him taking back that mantle again. It's exciting, and I hope that they write it well. I hope it's a lot of fun, and I'm sure it will be. Everything that show does, the way they handle the nostalgia, is pretty good. So, yeah, it's definitely something I'm looking forward to seeing.
Lorain Helmet. Can't go wrong with Lorain Helmet. He may have been the only superhero that didn't show up in Infinity War. I saw that over the weekend, my man. It's now over $1.2 billion worldwide. It still hasn't opened in China, so you kind of wonder what those numbers might do. What's the ceiling for this movie?
I have no idea. I had very high anticipations for it, and it's blasting those out of the water. I don't think, to the point where I don't know if there's actually anyone who hasn't seen the movie yet. It's incredible, and without China, it could do what, $2 billion maybe? Like, I don't know how far it can go, but it's really impressive, and it's kind of, I guess, disconcerting to me, because I like to see a lot of parody no matter what we're talking about. And I was talking to a friend the other day about, like, every big movie this year, at the end of the day, except for maybe like Deadpool 2, is going to be a Disney movie. And it's incredible, and what they're doing now is, and they just bought Fox. I'm hoping it doesn't end up turning into a huge monopoly, because I think then, you know, everything we see is going to be the same and it's not going to be as interesting in the theater. But until then, Disney's mopping up right now, and Avengers is such a big win for them, along with Black Panther, that it's this year has been all Disney. And I don't think that's going to change, especially with Solo coming out. We still have Ant-Man coming out. So it was a big, big year for Disney. And we'll see how much more Avengers can actually do.
Isn't that kind of the thing, though? In my mind, the reason these comic book movies are working is because each one's a different character. I know they're all related in the same universe, and you can bring that together, but they're not necessarily the same storyline. Sure, there's a protagonist and an antagonist, but, I mean, that's essentially what movies have. Each guy has their own kind of characteristics, their own kind of humor. Is that part of why you think this is working so well, that each one, while it's connected, is kind of different in its own way?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I don't think that was the way originally. Like, I think a lot of them felt somewhat similar, mm-hmm. and I think one of their smartest things was hiring directors, kind of what they're not doing with Star Wars. We saw that with Solo, where they actually fired the two, like, kind of out-of-the-box directors. But they're hiring these indie directors and letting them put their own spin on it, like Ryan Coogler with Black Panther. We saw Taika Waititi take Thor, which was, the first two movies were basically the same thing and kind of dull, mm-hmm. and put his spin on it. And that is, for the first time from seeing all these Marvel movies, I went in there and I left saying that was a Taika Waititi movie, not a Marvel movie, you know? Marvel had a way of just making everything kind of that. And you saw that when also they had that issue with Ant-Man, where Edgar Wright left because he wasn't able to put his vision in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're allowing that more often now after they saw with Edgar Wright leaving and saying what happened to that. They're letting it happen more, and these movies are doing much better for that. But as you said, like with Avengers, is kind of, it's a different story, but it's bringing them all in. It's the people aren't seeing it for the story, right? The story's a little muddled. There's a way too much going on. People are watching it for, you know, the action and the different superheroes combining and interacting, right? Yeah. We haven't seen that before. All these big stars we had seen in different movies are coming together, and we want to see how they interact. We want to see who pops in. So it's a different kind of filmmaking that they have pretty much aced, and I don't see that. And they're going to keep doing it until it doesn't work, and we'll see. That could be years from now, but we have yet to see a real superhero dud that Marvel has put out. DC's put out quite a few. We have yet to see a dud that Marvel's put out, and we'll see what happens when that does happen.
Al, without giving away anything and without putting any spoilers out there, what would you say is the biggest criticism of this Avengers movie? Would you say it's the story, or would you say it would be something entirely different?
For me, I thought, I don't think there's much of a story. I think the biggest thing it does well is it makes an interesting villain, which we see DC doesn't do, where it's these big villains that just take over. This one actually had a reason for it. It made him almost human, which you don't see with these villains who just want to take over the world. I know that didn't answer your question. I did the opposite. But that I thought they did really well. The big thing was there's just so much trying to put in that, like, certain superheroes and certain storylines didn't get enough breath. I think Captain America got hurt the worst. I don't remember anything that he really did in this movie. And I think that's the biggest issue, is trying to have as much, screen time for all of these different characters. But I thought the way they cut it and the way they handled the beginning was very strong. I thought it was a good movie. I didn't have a lot of, issues with it compared to, other movies along the silk. Is it, not Academy Award winner? No. But it did what it did well. And I don't have a lot of things wrong with it.
I agree wholeheartedly with what you just said. It wasn't like it was bad, it was good, but it's easy to get lost in a movie like that, because you're right, there's just so much happening. When you have that much star power, look, you've got to try and divvy it up a little bit, but you're right, there are some characters that definitely get lost. But I thought it was fascinating, to say the least. Now, I've got to turn it over to my tag team partner here because he's a huge fan of Arrested Development, and he's been telling me about it for a long time, so I know he's got questions. So the floor is yours, Mr. Douglas.
Well, first off, I know we've talked about what our favorite shows are on this show. This one is mine, bar none. Seasons 1 through 3 were absolutely fantastic. It ended up getting canceled. Season 4 was, I don't know, it was what it was on Netflix, but I know Michael Hurwitz came out last week and he said, hey guys, things are real close to being done here on Season 5. In fact, if I told you how soon it's going to come out, you'd be overly giddy. Then he released the remix of Season 4, which I think a lot of people were happy to see just based on the way Season 4 went initially. But what can you tell us here about Arrested Development and the big news that's been just released?
Well, Matt, I'm with you, too. That's definitely one of my top 10 shows of all time. The first 3 seasons are fantastic. And I thought Season 4, for what it was, knowing the whole backstory behind it, I thought it did a good job. Sure. It wasn't the best, but, you know. But they actually came out with a trailer for Season 5 today, and I think they have a premiere date. It's going to be out on May 29th, so the end of the month on Netflix. So super stoked about that. From what I've read, a lot of little different things that there might be a murder mystery involved. It seems like it's handling some Trumpian things, which I wouldn't put past. The big thing was a lot of people were wondering what Jeffrey Tambor's status was going to be on the show because of the way he left Transparent, mm-hmm. around some, you know, harassment issues. But he will be on this season, and from everything I've heard, is he's done great on it. So I'm very ecstatic for it. I think they learned what they did wrong on Season 4. They've had the time to figure it out. And I think they had a little more time with all the actors this time around than they did on Season 4. So I think I have very high hopes for this season. And I think it'll feel much more like Season 3 than Season 4, but definitely not reaching the highs like Season 2 did. Oops.
And this blows my mind. I mean, how do they get this cast together? I mean, this is a bunch of fairly big names, I would say. David Cross,
yeah. Oh,
Jeffrey,
for sure.
Tambor. I mean, and they all get them together, and they're able to put this thing together without people realizing. I had no clue this was going to be done by the end of the month. I thought we were still waiting for a year, year and a half before this season would come around.
That's what I thought, too. And I think the main reason why you get big names like this, and names that have gotten bigger since then, like Michael Cera, Jason Bateman, yeah. It's because they love the material, right? They have, it's one thing when you see, you know, as viewers, you love this show. You don't know if the people actually doing it love it. Like you saw with How I Met Your Mother, Mike Jason Siegel try to leave at certain times. Like, you just don't know that feeling. But when you go, you know, well, what's it been? Like, almost 10 years since Season 3 ended, and they still want to keep making this show. It's because of how much they love doing it originally. How good of a show it was, how great the writing was, how great the characters were, that they want to relive that moment again. And even though their schedules have been super busy, they find time around to do something like that. You saw that with Wet Hot American Summer, with all these big names getting back to do this, and you're seeing the same thing here. And I'm ecstatic. I never thought we'd get a Season 4, let alone a Season 5. And Season 4 hasn't cheapened my feeling at all for, sure. Season 5, so I'm still pretty excited for it. And the fact that it's coming out super soon, like, I'm pretty happy, and I can't wait to see it.
Have you watched any of the Season 4 remix yet?
I have not.
All right. I saw the first episode, but it wasn't too much different. I just like the way he reincorporated everybody into all the episodes. It has more of that classic Arrested Development feel to it.
Great. I'll definitely check it out.
All right, well, speaking of checking out, my man, before we let you check out, we need you to tell us which shows and movies we should be checking out on your Picks to Click for this week.
Well, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of great stuff coming out this week, like Teen Mom 2.
Bear Grylls. Wow, I'll DVR that, yeah.
I'm messing around. I can't even keep a straight face on that. But there's a couple interesting projects. There's a Michael C. Hall show on, I think it's Netflix, coming out. It's a British show called Safe. I think it's a one-time thing that looks kind of interesting. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. Benedict Cumberbatch playing Patrick Melrose. That's coming out on Showtime. Seems right up his alley, so that should be interesting. But for me, I'm really excited. I don't know if you guys had checked out Wild Wild Country on Netflix yet, which is a documentary series, which was really great. The Duplass brothers produced that. They produced this one called Evil Genius that comes out, I think it premieres Friday. It's another four-part series about this pizza bomber heist, this guy who would rob pizzerias with a bomb around his neck and just kind of goes from there. And it seems kind of weird and quirky. And if it's half as good as Wild Wild Country, it's going to be worth checking out. So I'd say Evil Genius is my pick the quick this week.
Very good stuff, my friend. Well, Al, we always appreciate the time, and we look forward to speaking with you again next Monday.
All right. Sounds great, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you, Al. You too. That's Al Harris, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Time to get to a break, and then it's time to go next door to the Orthopedic Associates newsroom, where Matt Douglas will give us the updates on the local news. Orthopedic Associates, quality care at an affordable cost. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930.